This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 presents Absolutely Everybody, sponsored by and presented by Anecto, the People Network. Absolutely Everybody, only on Joy 94.9.
Now, we've got some special guests in the studio. It is Fringe Festival time, the time where everyone wants to get out and about and into the fabulous weather and, you know, starting to absorb some great culture of Melbourne again. Not that we haven't been, but, you know, we have been a little footy obsessed. Yes. This weekend it all starts to die down and people start refocusing a bit more on the art side of things as well, I should say, as well. So we've got two guests in the studio today from a fantastic show called Get Lucky, which, first of all, we'd like to make sure that you all put it in your diary to go and see. But Edwin, now, is it Zichterman?
Zichterman.
Zichterman. Yeah, Zichterman. Dutch, yeah. I should know. I live in the Bagel Belt. And, okay. You know, there's. I would have thought there'd be some of your mob around there with names like that. Brendan Glanville, who's the director of the show. Guys, tell us a little bit about how the show came about. I started
writing the rough draft of the play when I was in Thailand doing a Muay Thai training camp, and then
not me, I never do, just for the record.
Yeah. And then I entered into the Anywhere Theatre Festival, but like I said, the script was still needed a lot more work. I was collaborating with other theatre practitioners, but I still needed a director, I still needed a cast, and I kind of hit a wall of the script. Mm-hmm. And then luckily my friend put a Facebook status saying, look, we need a director for this play, and then that's how I met Brendan Glanville.
Yeah, right. So tell us a little bit about the play itself, and what was it that actually inspired you to start writing? Because you say, you know, you were writing it while you were off in Thailand doing some Muay Thai boxing. But what happened before that? What was it that you kind of went, I've got to write a play about this stuff? Or
I think for a long time I wanted to write, but never really, I guess, didn't have the focus to do it. And I wanted to write because I'm in the military. I've spent 6 years as a reserves in the Air Force. And I wanted to write, to start writing about guys in the gym and that kind of atmosphere and that world that, you know, a lot of guys that live in that we don't really see on the stage.
Yeah, true.
And I guess a lot of the play kind of comes from my experiences. I guess last year, actually hired a dating coach because I wanted to get more confident with women.
Fantastic.
And then I was dating this girl, and every time we tried to have sex, I couldn't get it up. And then it was funny because then I was doing reserves and I had these two really alpha kind of sergeant and corporal, and then we were all working out in the gym, and I'm a bit of an open book, so I was like, oh yeah, I just get this dickings on. They're like, what? Yeah. What are you telling us that for? And they were just all working out in the gym. And that kind of, you know, spruced the idea for, you know, the seeds of the play.
Yeah, right. Okay. So then you come into the picture.
Yeah, Ed always says, yeah, and Brendan really liked the play, but Brendan didn't like the play. Ed actually had told Anywhere Theatre Festival that I was the director before I'd actually
Right, so you got dobbed in.
Yeah, so I went to have coffee with him, basically to go, you know, the play's not really saying anything. And I always start with the question, what do you want the audience to walk away feeling?
Good question.
And Ed couldn't answer that question, but he was so passionate about the project that I sort of, I believe in no boundaries and a little bit more, I like think about sexuality as sacred, like sacred sexuality, and not be about labels or boxes or paradigms, and think of it as chemistry and connection and that sort of thing. And I said to Ed, well, maybe rewrite it from that perspective. And he did. And in the end, I came back and it still wasn't quite there. So I said, well, how about we co-write it? And really that's how the partnership then took off. We co-wrote it. Now we've got a play that, you know, if you actually said to someone, yeah, we've actually got a comedy about erectile dysfunction, they'd sort of look at you funny. But I guess what someone said to me was that it's really quite offensive, your play, but you end up loving it because all the characters have got so much heart and you really fall in love with all the characters, and you sort of end up forgiving it and end up laughing in places that you probably shouldn't.
Yeah, right. So it's a, excuse the pun, no holes barred expose around some pretty intense topics.
Well, the character of Brian goes through a massive journey because, you know, he is trying to, he starts to doubt his sexuality. And so, and I give him one thing is he's brave. He'll try anything. So, you know, he gets onto Grindr and, you know, hooks up with a guy and that doesn't work. So he's not unable to get things working with a girl, but he can't get things working with a guy. So he's
What's going on here?
Yeah, he's just confused. Yeah. And that, I guess it was interesting because we had two groups of, you know, we had a lot of gay audience and really great patronage from in Queensland from the gay community. And all my gay friends were very much, they thought it ended one way. And all the straight people that came and saw it were like, they thought it ended the other way.
Well, look, there's so much more we need to, will you guys stick around? Because I'm going to talk a little bit more about the show and where people can get tickets and all that sort of stuff. But
Joy!
Yes, well, you are on Joy 94.9. And a new production of from the Grey Matter Collective has come to Melbourne Fringe, Get Lucky, exploring the story of a young man dealing with his sexuality and trying to understand his role as a man in the modern era. And Brendan Glanville is the star and co-writer of said show. And I'm talking about getting him mixed up. Brendan has been, well, he's a co-writer, Brendan is, but he's the director. Yeah. And Edwin has been I wouldn't say birther. What would we call it? The
concept creator.
The concept creator. Yeah. That's
well, it wouldn't have happened without him, that's for sure.
Exactly. So the concept creator, co-writer, and are you doing any performing in the show as well?
Yeah, I play the character of Green that acts as Brian's mentor.
Right, okay. And there's quite a few people in this show.
Yeah.
How many have you got?
Six cast. Yeah, six cast. So Matt Peacock plays the lead role of Brian.
Yeah.
And he's he probably sits about 6 foot three.
Yeah.
He's a fairly tall young man and a good looking young man. And he's very good with physical comedy as well, in that way. Then we have Samantha O'Connor who plays every woman in the play bar one. So she plays, I think, five different characters.
It's very ambitious.
Yeah, and really great. So she plays everything from a lesbian to a woman on a hen's night. So,
fantastic.
And she just does a brilliant job with her turn of phrase and getting her physicality to change character. Then we have Tara Jade, who plays Brian's the girl that he'd really like to get onto. And Adam Berridge plays two characters. He plays a barman and the grinder. We used to call him the grinder man, but we have given him a name now. His name's David, and I think we've even got that written into the play somewhere now.
That's kind of useful because as a Dockers supporter, one of their mascots is called Grinder.
Well, there you go.
Really?
Before Grinder actually ever existed. Unfortunate, isn't it? Unfortunate. Or fortunate, depending what side of the fence you're sitting on.
Yeah, and then we've got Ed playing Green, playing the march. So it's really nice that Ed initially had written the role of Brian for himself because it's, you know, that's where he got the concepts through from his experiences. And then when we got chatting in the casting situation, I actually thought it's probably better to move away from trying to play something too close to home, and he's going to get me fit by the end of it because he's the one with his shirt off doing chin-ups and dips and all the things that I can't do. He's there doing it on stage in front of an audience every night.
And that's what I was going to ask. You know, the content is so close to home, and did you share any of the content as you're writing it with, you know, the buddies and the guys that you're, because you being in the army.
Air Force.
Defence Forces, I should say. Yeah. You know, you're surrounded by mainly men, I imagine, in the field that you were in.
Yep.
Yeah. And did you get a chance to share any of?
Yeah, I had. I mean, it's been really good. I've had a lot of my close mates come see the performance when we first did it in Anywhere, and then the one we did on Friday night. I had a couple of my military mates come see it, and they really, really enjoyed it.
That's fantastic.
You know, so
yeah, great.
No, it was good.
Because I mean, erectile dysfunction, not an easy thing for people to talk about. Have you had any people from the audience kind of just hanging back, or I imagine it's an area that a lot of people don't want to talk about.
No one's actually showed us anything.
No.
There's been no show and tell.
No.
Have a look at this and see if you can get it to work.
Yeah, any of my mates got this issue, you know, could I, none of that stuff.
No, I don't think we do enough social justice in that. But what we do in the without giving away the plot point, what it's explained is that it's a lot of it's in Brian's head.
Mm.
So the issue is about, and if you look into erectile dysfunction, you know, they say it's something like in the high 90% are stress, anxiety.
Yeah, right.
So the character of Brian, when you see him, you know, you can't blame him for being stressed, some of the things he puts himself through.
Yeah.
But once he actually learns to actually stop thinking and start feeling, perhaps would be a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, right.
Then you know, starts to get some different results.
And I think also taking away the pressure. I think there is a pressure for young men to sleep around for the sake of it, rather than just, you know, meeting her that they actually really liked and building a connection, and then you know, wanting to have sex with them rather than just doing it for numbers.
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about that, because I think you're quite right. There's so much social media out there. There's so much imagery out there. There's so much, particularly, I imagine, in a very, you know, macho environment where the common conversation, I imagine, revolves around women and your partners and, you know, all of that achievement stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, there's one, I'm thinking, there's a character I missed out.
Danny.
Yeah, of course, the character that's... that everyone loves to hate. It's a guy called James Pugsley, and he's strangely James Adams, isn't it? James Adams, and he plays a character called Danny, who is the most misogynistic man in the world, and
continually tells how many women he's slept with.
Yeah. Do you know how many women I've been with?
We all know that guy.
Oh, and
we
everyone says exactly that when they see the play. They laugh at him at first, and then they're repulsed by him by the end of the play. And part of the deal, as we said to Ed when we were writing this, I go, I want people to be laughing and then cringing because they either are seeing their friends or themselves in this character. Yeah. And let's blow the whole myth up about you're a man if you sleep with lots of women.
Yeah.
And because he's constantly, we're talking in the, we didn't want to become preachy, so we had to be really careful.
Mm.
We weren't sort of saying, you know.
You don't want to be too corny.
Yeah. So we had to sort of really
fine
go
line. Fine
it
line.
It is a hugely fine line. But I think the physical comedy that's in it as well, and the play's done minimally, so we only have like four pieces of set that we turn around to make different things, makes it better.
Yeah. Look, it sounds like a fantastic show. I can't wait to go along. And as well, you know, it's a comedy. Makes you think.
Yeah.
And also it's something that you can take your partner to. You can take all ages, I imagine. I mean, over 15.
I'd say 18. Well,
18
the C-bomb's dropped in it fairly regularly.
Okay, so over 18.
Character, so we'd say over 18.
Over 18.
But it's up to, you know, discerning parents, up to you, if you've got a very open and look, it is there's lots of swearing and lots of... you know, comedy and actions of acts, but no one so far...
in context.
Yeah, it's very much
not
so
just
in
for,
context.
Not just for the sake of it.
Very much in context, and we haven't offended anyone. Everyone's... Well, put it this way, when I was... On the very first night, I knew there was a group of older gay men that had come in, and I was sitting in the lighting box and went, I just had this panic attack, like going, because it was our opening night, and I've gone, oh my God, have we handled this right? Have we done this sensibly enough? What have I done? And then I remember the first group of people that I saw standing ovation and just slamming their hands together was this group of older gay men. I'm talking like in their 60s and 70s. And then I had one of the other cast's grandfathers come up and said, that was the bloody funniest play I've ever seen.
Well, there you go.
So I go, I think we cover it, you know.
Fantastic. So if people want to get tickets, I mean, are there any tickets left?
Yeah, so you can buy it. You can buy it at the front door at Revolt Theatre. So it's on from...
right from now, yeah.
From now.
Like tonight?
From now right through to the 4th of October.
Oh, wow.
7 p.m. nightly, and it's at 12 Elizabeth Street, Kensington.
Yeah, cool. Right now. It's walking distance from Kensington train station. And the details are also on the Melbourne Fringe.
Go to the Melbourne Fringe website. It's probably going to be easiest. Yeah.
Just put Get Lucky in Melbourne Fringe and it should search up our play.
You might find some extra people going along just typing in Get Lucky.
You want to get lucky, come along to Kensington at Revolt Arts Space. We'll look after you.
Couldn't say it better. Look, guys, thank you so much for coming in, and good luck with the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'd love to hear more about your stuff in the future.
Connecting, representing,
celebrating. Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.